good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore, and I hope your weekend is clicking along splendidly. And in fact, honestly, now that I think about it, because you're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore, by very definition, your weekend is clicking along splendidly. At least as long as the show is on the air, you're living in the butter zone. You know, this is the golden time for you. So you got an hour to really soak it up and get the most out of your weekend. And I'm going to fill that hour with as much as I can, as much good stuff as I can. At the end of the show, we're going to be talking about shedding pets. I've got a golden retriever who is shedding like it's a new hobby for her. It's ridiculous. And there's hair everywhere in the house. We can't even vacuum it up fast enough. It's that bad. So I've looked online for some internet answers, found some. But before I could implement those easily found internet answers, I decided to reach out to some experts, and I called Petcuts Grooming in Zealand and found out that the internet answers that I stumbled upon are probably not the best solutions out there. And in fact, a couple of them could cause some problems down the road. And since these are the readily found internet answers for dealing with shedding pets, I thought let's talk with the experts from Petcuts Grooming and get the straight scoop on how to deal with pets that are shedding like crazy right now at this time of year. So that's coming up at the end of the show. I'll also be talking with Kevin Herman from Benjamin Moore about Woodlux. It's a new exterior stain from Benjamin Moore. It's great for all kinds of exterior wood situations, siding, fences, your deck, all of those things. We're going to get the scoop on Woodlux in just a little bit. But right now, I don't know if it's the winter blues or spring fever or just age, but man, this winter has hit me hard. And I know this really hasn't been that bad of a winter. I guess I'm getting really soft as I get older, but this one really took it out of me. I feel drained and perpetually tired. My energy to tackle projects around the house, projects anywhere, just isn't there. And even the usual creative stuff that I do, the creative stuff that I like to do, even that feels like a burden right now. And this has affected everything. I really can't stress that enough. It's affected everything from work to home to even dinner. And I love dinner. But right now I can hardly stand the thought of thinking about what to make for dinner. Making the food isn't so bad. It's the thought of thinking up what to make that's getting me. Creatively, I feel my tank is completely dry. Now, that's rough in my line of work. I do marketing. I'm supposed to come up with great ideas to come out to Repco Light, reasons to come out to Repco Light and shop. And how in the world are you supposed to do that when your tank is completely dry? But it's also rough as a homeowner. You know, I've got landscaping that needs help, rooms that need paint, cabinets that need to be ushered into the current decade, whether that's kicking or screaming or whether I can just lure them here. Either way, I got to get them into this current decade. It's rough as a parent, doing stuff with the kids, having fun, making meals. I talked about that. All of that takes creative energy, and I'm really, really struggling right now. Now, I think it's interesting that a lot of us would probably say that creativity and creative drive is really important for people who create art, who write, who make music, maybe to certain entrepreneurs, people like that. A lot of us, however, don't see creativity as being key in our own regular daily lives. But it really is important. It's essential. You know, I've just listed off a ton of regular home tasks that I'm struggling with because the creative well feels dry. So creativity is important, and it adds flavor to life. Now, all right, where in the world am I going with all of this? Well, here's the scoop. I did something this past week that has given me a much-needed shot in the arm, and I wanted to recommend it to everybody out there, especially if you're nodding as I talked about my lack of energy and my lack of creativity. But even if that part didn't resonate with you, this is all still really good. Anyway, my son and I, we went to Frederick Meyer Gardens and Sculpture Park in Grand Rapids this past week, and it was for a project that he's working on at Grand Valley. He asked me if I wanted to go with him, and he told me he'd pay, and then he promised that we wouldn't have to stay long. So he knows me well. He knows what speaks to my heart. All he had to do was get there and scope out a particular sculpture, and then we could scoot. 20 minutes tops. So I agreed. And in the end, he had to drag me out of there 3 hours later. Now, I've been to Frederick Meyer Gardens and Sculpture Park before, but I've never made it outside, and I've never walked the grounds. When I went this last time, just this last week, it was beautiful. The weather was great. Now, that really helped. That was really key. The weather was wonderful, and the art was compelling. You know, all these sculptures that I'm seeing, they were compelling and stimulating. And maybe that sounds ridiculously dumb, oversimplified, I'm sure. But really, I found myself standing and staring and thinking, what does this say? You know, what does this piece say? What does it mean? What did the artist intend? What am I picking up from this piece? And honestly, I was asking myself, is this really an art installation? Or is it just a bench or maybe a garbage receptacle that just looks fancier than normal? Because there were a couple times where I was admiring a bench and had to be informed by my son that that really is just a bench. So I did ask all those things, but still, it was fun and intriguing. And I found a couple of pieces that at first I really disliked. But then on a second pass, I saw him from another angle, and all of a sudden, a new question popped into my mind about it, and I started looking at him again and talking about him with my kid and just thinking it through. It was really, really exciting and really, really fun. Digging into art and asking questions in the midst of a beautiful spring day felt like medicine. And there's just tons to see. We didn't see it all. We had to leave, but tons to see. There's a 24-foot bronze sculpture called the American Horse, for example. You probably know about it. Like I said, 24-foot tall bronze sculpture. And the backstory for this piece alone is worth the trip. I can't give you the whole thing, but I can give you a really quick snapshot of it. It stems back to Leonardo da Vinci. In the early 1500s, he had this idea to create this massive horse sculpture, but it never happened. Then over 400 years and a lot of interesting twists down the road, this American horse sculpture that we've got in Grand Rapids is created. It's true to Da Vinci's original drawings, and it's incredible to see. You got to check it out. So there's that. There's also a children's garden area that's beautiful to walk through. Japanese gardens that are going to be full of blossoming trees soon. We missed that. We were a little early, but they're just around the corner, all the blossoming trees. There's all kinds of different areas to wander outdoors. The sound of traffic kind of died away as we were there, and we were able to focus on the birds and the water and the wind. It was medicine. Now, those things are all outdoors. Then inside, there are other things to see. There's a huge collection of insects from around the world. They're all dead, but you can check that out. That was really cool. And, of course, there's the always cool butterfly exhibit. I'm sure you've heard about this before. These guys are alive, and you got to check this out if you haven't. And even if you have, you want to check it out again. Basically, you walk through a 5-story, 15,000-square-foot glass house, and it's filled with tropical plants and hundreds of butterflies. If you're stressed, go see the butterflies. It's warm in the greenhouse. The plants and the trees are amazing, and the color and the beauty of the butterflies flitting around is incredibly calming. Except there is this little bit of a concern that every time you step on something that's not smooth pavement or smooth cobblestone, you worry that perhaps you have brought a butterfly to an untimely end. No, most of the time, I in fact never saw that happen, but it is the concern. You can see it on everybody's face. So there is that. But overall, incredibly calming. The whole experience, really great. You got to check it out. Frederick Meyer Gardens and Sculpture Park. The butterflies are going to be there till the end of April. You can find much more information online at meyergardens.com. It's worth the drive. And if you decide to make that drive, here are some things to do to make sure you have the best experience possible. First off, check out their website ahead of time and make a plan. There's a ton of things to see. Figure out what looks best to you and make a plan to see those things. Go with plenty of time and bring good walking shoes. You're going to need them. Finally, check the weather ahead of time and grab a good day so you can get outside. Frederick Meyer Gardens and Sculpture Park in Grand Rapids. You can check them out online at meyergardens.com. That's M-E-I-J-E-R gardens.com. Check them out. All right, it's time for a break. When we come back, I'm going to be talking with Kevin Herman from Benjamin Moore about the best products for our Michigan decks. That's all just ahead. Stay tuned. And we're back. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. And right now, I'm on the road, so if everything sounds a little different, that's what's going on. I'm on the road at our Plainfield location, sitting here with Benjamin Moore's own, one and only Kevin Herman. Kevin.
Happy Saturday, Dan.
Happy Saturday and Sunday.
Oh.
Because on the east side, that's where we play.
Oh, that's too much.
I know. It's a lot. You're going to have to work that in.
We'll manage.
You'll get there. Anyway, Kevin, we're hosting a bunch of contractor appreciation events.
Yeah, we want to thank our customers. They're the reason we exist. Yep.
So right today, we're recording it actually on Tuesday, April 8th.
Sounds
good. And yeah, this will play on Saturday, but all coming up, we've got events at all the other
Repco Lights. Check your text the store signs. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
The whole month.
Pizza, t-shirts, all kinds of stuff, like Kevin said, just saying
drawings
thanks.
Drawings for various things, yep.
Thanks
there's
to our contractors.
There's a pro show, all kinds of stuff.
All kinds of things. Well, Kevin, one of the things that you guys have been promoting on some of these events that we've
hosted. It's our biggest launch of the year.
Is Woodlux.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting.
Yeah. So Woodlux, an exterior stain, it came out about a month ago officially.
Yeah, we started shipping it really across the United States.
All right. Now there's an oil-based and a water-based version.
Yes, a compliant oil here in Michigan.
All right. Now to help us figure out this whole Woodlux line and whether it's right for, you know, anybody listening's next project.
Everybody.
We really need you to help us figure this out. So let's start, honestly, with an entirely different product. Let's start with Arbor Coat. That was your previous line of stains that Benjamin Moore had. Is Arbor Coat going away?
Arbor Coat is gone. Woodlux comes in. It's our new stain line. Arbor Coat goes out. There is one product that kind of holds over, but other than that, it's all new technology.
So what about people who are thinking, oh man, I've got cans of Arbor Coat. That's what I've used. I wanted to continue with that. Now what?
Well, we can still give them the same colors. It's just going to be a better formulation.
Okay, so it's a better formulation, and that's what I guess I want to get to. So Arbor Coat goes away.
Yes.
Except for the little exceptions that you talked about.
Yep.
What does Woodlux bring to the table that Arbor Coat didn't do?
The probably easiest way to describe this is just start off with the similarities. So we have an compliant oil, which we're good to sell here in Michigan. So if you want oil,
say that all again and say it slower. It's a what or a what oil?
A compliant oil.
Oh, a compliant.
Yeah. So we have VOC regulations, ROTC2 here in Michigan. Can't forget that. So this allows us to sell a solvent material in Michigan for those that like the oil paints.
Well, I'm really disappointed, Kevin, because I didn't hear the word compliant. I heard aquinone, and I thought I have no idea what that is. I'm really excited to hear. It's just compliant. It's just you slurring words and me not listening well. So
yeah, me mumbling.
A compliant oil.
So we have a compliant oil. And then on the waterborne side, it's waterborne, but there's still alkyd components to it. It's just soap and water cleanup. So you'll still get some of the same protections as the oils. But both the waterborne and the compliant oil in the translucent, the semi-transparent and the semi-solid, none of them form a film. They're all minimal film forming.
Okay.
Idea being, if we have good penetration into the wood and we don't have anything sitting on the surface, you have much less chance, a lower chance of any peeling. So that means you have a more even degradation of the stain color, and it's easier when you go to recoat it because you don't have to worry about any spots that have peeled.
Okay, so let's take a step back, help people understand. You know, you're talking to everybody. You're talking to contractors, business owners, homeowners. Where would they use this kind of a product?
Be vertical or horizontal. Exterior.
Exterior wood.
Exterior wood, whether it's cedar or pressure treated.
Talking decks, fences, siding, anything like that.
Anything you want to stain outside.
All right. So now you're talking the fact that the which coatings, the translucent, semi-transparent.
And the semi-solid.
And even the semi-solid.
Don't form a film.
Don't
minimal
form a film.
Yep. They should all penetrate into the wood.
And you talked about why that's important, but drill into that a little more for people who don't live in this industry.
We can get the protection from the penetration. The material is in the wood, but you have less chance of peeling. And in Michigan, our biggest problem is our freeze thaws. That's why our roads get destroyed. That's why our asphalt doesn't hold up. It's because of it melts and then freezes. Melts and freezes all winter long, and that just destroys your deck and the coating too. So if we can keep minimal film from forming on the surface, we have very lower chance, much less chance of peeling.
All right. So what kind of lifespan are people? I mean, that's all going to be really
That's so objective to the age and condition of your deck, the preparation, all that. I usually tell people, put it down like a birthday. If you want your deck to be looking perfect, and that's the optimal word. If you want it to look really nice, you have to do something with it every year. Maybe a cleaning, maybe a touch-up, maybe a reapplication. But put it down and expect something to hold up for 3 years and look beautiful until it doesn't, that doesn't really happen.
What about the products that say you're going to get 5-6 years out of this? Because there are those products out there.
You're going to be disappointed.
Okay. Yeah.
And, always... the majority of coating, we also have some solid coatings in the latex, the waterborne side. So there's a 640, which has a low luster. That's our big seller. And then we also have an ultra flat. They do form a film. Those will peel on a deck surface. On horizontal, vertical surface, they're very stable. But on decks in Michigan, solids peel. How much? The majority of the coating is going to last a long time, and that's where I was going with this. You probably get 4 or 5 years out of the majority of that coating, but you're going to have peeling.
With the solid?
With the solids the next spring, especially if your deck's older and you have a lot of cracks in it. It's going to work. Touch up and enjoy it. Touch up and enjoy it every spring.
But with the translucent, semi-transparent, and semi-solid, no film build.
Nope.
We're not going to have peeling. I'm in the studio with I'm not in the studio. I'm in the Plainfield Repco Light location with Kevin Herman from Benjamin Moore. We're talking about woodlocks. And Kevin, you have now kind of zipped over all of the different finishes that are available, or I don't even know what I don't want to call them a finish. The different.
Yeah, finishes.
Okay, okay. The different finishes that we can get woodlocks in. It's an exterior stain. There's an oil-based version. And I believe the water-based version also will give you a translucent, a semi-transparent, and a semi-solid.
Yep.
Both of those, oil or water-based,
yep,
are not going to build a film.
Mm-mm.
Then the water-based products have a semi or have a solid and an ultra-flat solid.
Yep.
That
correct
means something to us, and it maybe means something to a lot of people, but I know there's also a huge group of people where the whole deck coating thing, it's confusing. There's
sure
all these different options.
Yes,
I just wanted something
options
on the deck. Let's walk through, or whatever exterior wood that we're doing, let's walk through these and just help people. You know, we'll try to do our best on radio,
mm-hmm,
get people what an idea what it looks like. So translucent.
Very little color. You know, you have seven stock colors, but you can see through them. So you basically, you're just changing the tone of the wood.
All right.
Really,
so
but that's about it.
You see a ton of wood grain,
mm-hmm,
a little bit of color. That color gives you UV protection.
Yes.
And all of that. You
mm-hmm
still get all of that.
Repels water, all the good stuff. Yep.
All of that, but not a lot of color there.
Not a lot of color.
All right. So if you want that natural look, mm-hmm, and that's really what you lean towards, this is something to at least take a look at in the
yep
store. So that's translucent, semi-transparent.
A little bit more color.
Yeah. They yeah seem almost interchangeable, but they're not.
Yeah. Let's say it's like halfway between translucent and a solid, right?
Okay.
You can still see the wood grain. You can see all the texture, but you're going to see more color now. And you have probably about 75 colors that we have.
Okay, so now the colors really increase. We had
yep
seven for the translucence, and now 70.
And formulas for 75.
All right, 75. Semi-solid.
Yep. So take the, maybe we're about 2/3 to 3/4 of the way to solid. Now
I love
now
making you do
can,
this on the radio.
You can, it's starting to look a little bit more opaque, but you can still see some wood grain and texture through it, but you're starting to mask it. Maybe a choice for people that want a lot more color on the deck, or maybe the deck is getting to the point where you can't use a translucent or semi-transparent anymore.
Because
longer
the wood is...
It's getting older. It may have had multiple applications in the past. It looks a little splotchier. Semi-solid will mask some of that.
Right, because a translucent, a semi-transparent,
they're
you're going to see all of that.
Everything.
And the same thing with siding or anything
mm-hmm
like that.
Mm-hmm.
So then solid, of course, that's going to look like paint for the most part, right?
It looks exactly like paint.
And then what about this ultra-flat solid? What is it just, I'm
so
getting a super flat?
Ultra-flat,
where would I use it?
I generally recommend an ultra-flat if you're doing, say, a long stretch, vertical, you know, you're painting your siding. And you got a long stretch and you got a dark color, and it's hard to stage it so that you can keep your wet edge going. You're going to end up having obvious stop and start places when you're moving your ladder or your scaffolding. The ultra-flat will be more forgiving on those areas where you lap and normally you would build up some sheen.
Okay.
So I would suggest the ultra flat in those dark colors, long expanse.
Vertical surfaces.
Yes.
Would not want to put this on a deck.
It is for decks as well, but we have a much more durable formula in the low luster solid stain. That really works well, vertical and horizontal.
Okay. All right.
We could put the ultra flat on it, but let's go with the other one.
That makes sense. All right. We're talking with Kevin Herman from Benjamin Moore about woodlocks, brand new exterior stain from Benjamin Moore. Just hit the shelves.
Just this year.
Yeah, this year.
Just a month ago.
Yeah, actually. Kevin, I would like to take a break. And on the other side, I don't know how long it will be, but we'll just have a quick conversation about just application, what it looks like to apply it, prep work, things like
okay
that. Do you have time for that?
Yeah, of course.
All right. I'll be back in just a minute with Kevin Herman from Benjamin Moore. Stick around. And we're back. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. And speaking of Benjamin Moore, I'm here with Benjamin Moore's Kevin Herman, talking about woodlocks, a brand new exterior stain
mm-hmm
from Benjamin Moore, replacing Arbor Coat.
Yep.
Product that had been around for how many years?
Let's say eight or so years.
Yeah. Woodlocks 12. Hits the shelves. It's got a water-based and an oil-based version. And translucent, semi-transparent, semi-solid, solid and ultra-flat solid, all of these different finishes. It's crazy. Come out to the store if you've got a project where you would want to use this. And it would be siding, fences, decks, that's where all of this will excel.
Yeah, and you'll be able to see this display if you have a question between transparent, semi-transparent, semi-solid, solid, ultra-flat. You'll be able to see what it looks like and what the differences are and all the colors that comes in.
Perfect.
Quite a few.
So I want to talk about application, you know, prep work, what it looks like so people mm-hmm. get an idea of what the project would look like. Let's start with the fact, and maybe this is just boneheaded, but you've got an oil-based version, you've got a water-based version.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I want one or the other? Is there a benefit, an advantage?
Well, they both will perform about the same. They both have great penetrating formulations so that sink down to the wood, and like I said before, they don't form a film. That's what you want. The difference is going to be, do you like soap and water cleanup?
Mm-hmm.
Then obviously the waterborne is going to be the way to go. Otherwise, okay. You're going to have mineral spirits to clean up
Let's say I detest soap and water cleanup.
Yep.
Because there's nothing worse than getting out that bucket of water and soap. Yeah. I would so much rather get out a bucket of mineral spirits.
You're weird.
Yeah, I am weird. Why would you even have an oil-based version? How many people are going to take that stance?
Well, you know, there's still a lot of people that like the oil. We've been using them for years. They're proven. They penetrate very well. And one of the big advantages of oil is if it's a little too cool outside or if it's a little too hot outside, the waterborne is going to be more difficult to use. And if it's too cool, it's just not going to dry. If it's too hot, then it's going to flash dry because we're just waiting for the water to evaporate. Well, the mineral spirits in the alkyd will still evaporate out even if it's cooler and it'll still cure, do what it's supposed to. And if it's too hot, that mineral spirits slows it down a little bit. So that probably would be my choice.
And that's what I was trying to get to, is there's a definite application benefit to some extent with the oil-based product.
Yep.
And these are compliant.
Yep.
So people don't need to worry about that.
Michigan. Yep.
All right. So let's talk about these. You know, I guess probably a deck. Do you think that's the most common application?
The most amount of preparation, and we end up having to coat them more often because the stains just don't hold up as well as they do in a vertical.
Yeah. And since the application will be largely, at least similar,
very similar
across different applications, let's talk about a deck. Let's say I've got a deck. It's a translucent coating is what I had on it.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of color gave me some UV protection. Fading out. It doesn't look good anymore. It's been 3 years.
Oh boy. Okay.
I've just really milked it out. What do I need to do to get ready to make the switch?
Well, if you've let it go for 3 years, chances are there isn't any protection on your deck anymore, even though you might have a little bit of residual color. You're probably going to have to, at the very minimum, clean it.
Mm-hmm.
You will probably have to remove the grade wood, right? So we have a product a number of products in the prep products, and one of them that you would want to use would be called Restorer. And what that does is it eats off the gray wood that you're going to have, which is basically the ultraviolet light destroying your wood, your deck. It turns gray, whitish, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get rid of that. You don't want to stain over the top of it because that stuff is actually coming off of your deck, and it'll take the stain with it.
So that Restorer, that's a product that it's a concentrate.
Yeah,
mix it with
water,
spray
it on, scrub it around a little bit, rinse it off, and it'll take off that dead wood.
Do I need a power washer to do that and pull it off?
It certainly helps, but don't destroy your deck with too much pressure.
It's my deck, Kevin. I'm going to do what I want with it.
We don't want you to destroy your deck. You want to clean it with the volume of the water, not necessarily the pressure of the water, right? You can use a power washer, just don't dig into your deck with it because you can make a mess.
Right. So I hit it with Restorer.
Yep, and we just want to rinse it off, basically.
Now, previously, you had all these products.
Mm-hmm.
Brighton had to be used.
If you're doing cedar or redwood.
Okay, but I don't need that in this instance. Cause
if it's pressure treated, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
if it's cedar or redwood, then it would.
Cedar or redwood.
You might have teak or ipe or.
Okay, no, not me.
Mahogany.
Not me, Kevin.
The Dan pad.
So anyway, I get it cleaned off with Restore and let it dry. How long do I need to let it dry before?
Well, if it's good drying weather, you get 75, 80 degrees. It only takes a few days. If it is still cool and damp outside, that's going to take longer. Just a little common sense.
All right. Now, I should mention that Repcolite also rents out an on-floor machine.
Yeah, I love those things.
And basically, it's a sander for the deck. It's really easy to use compared to a belt sander, which pulls you along, and it's a real pain to work with. This is super simple. Floats along the deck for the most part. There's a vacuum system, and that will get it down to almost looking like brand new wood.
It'll look like new wood with cracks in it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I'll have information about that in the show notes, or
very,
you can just give a call to any of the Repcolite stores, and they'll get you some information about what that looks like. But let's say you get the deck all cleaned up, or you sand it.
Yep.
Now, with the sanding, you could go and put your coating on right away.
Yeah, you're not introducing any water at that point, and you're prepping it as well as it's going to ever get prepped again.
So if I've washed it, though, because I didn't want to get that on floor machine, I just wanted to move ahead, I let it dry my couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have a particular, I mean, is there a leaning one way or another with the product or just
no, at that point, it's your preference. Yep. It's completely up to your preference at that point. If the deck is ready to accept stain, and when you said 3 years, there's probably very little protection on that. So if we take some water droplets and put them in various areas around the deck and it all penetrates in, it's going to take the stain.
Mm-hmm.
If it's beading, well, then something's preventing it. And if the water beads, then your stain isn't going to penetrate either. Just a quick test.
So but we should double check that after the cleaning.
After 3 years, you should be fine, though.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So then I go to my deck coating. I pick whatever I want, translucent, mm-hmm. semi-transparent. Maybe the boards are in just terrible condition. And maybe that's where I start thinking about a semi-solid or something.
A semi-solid
like that.
Or solid. Yeah.
And if I do that, I'm going to get a color.
Yes.
And that's going to be nice because people like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be dealing with peeling.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean the product's bad. It just
nope.
means the situation and that application, you're going to get some of it. Just like painting trim, a lot of the times, baseboard, there's going to be dings here and there.
Yep.
It's just the way of it, unless mm-hmm. you never, ever vacuum.
Yep. So then you touch up those spots the following spring after we go through the winter and the freeze thaws. And you just enjoy it for the summer, just like you would touch up your dings, you know, say on cabinets or trimming inside the house.
All right.
And then you enjoy it again.
One other quick question regarding application. Hopefully mm-hmm. it's quick. Let's say it's not been 3 years. You know, I did it last year. It's still not. You know, now I need to, you know, put that new coat on, make it look good. What does that process look like?
Well, if you just did it last year, depending on what you used and what exposure you have and, you know, how much sunlight it gets, you may still have some protection on there. And then I definitely do the water droplet test. Various areas around your deck, put it on. If it stays in a nice bead, then again, it's being prevented from penetrating into the wood. So your stain won't penetrate either.
So then what do I need to do in that situation?
Well, then you can either use the remover again, or you can wait.
It's a different product. We talked about Restore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. That's why I'm here. I'm the expert, Kevin.
You are the expert.
I keep you on track.
Mm-hmm.
So we would go to remove, which is another
concentrate. Remover. It's a concentrate that you mix it up to various ratios with water, depending on what you're trying to remove. So the translucent oil is the easiest thing to take off. Solid color acrylics are the hardest, so there would be a stronger formulation.
All right. So with the solid color acrylics, if that's where you're at and you just want to get that off, that's where you'd almost want to really consider that on floor.
Oh, that would make it so much faster.
Yeah, we have
less
one,
messy, and then you could recoat so much faster.
One particular customer a few years ago, right when we got that machine, I don't remember the situation, but I know they put on 4 or 5 coats. Like,
ugh,
they just kept building, trying to get where they wanted.
More coats is not better.
Oh, yes. And then that's where we ran into that problem. Just too many coats down. And they tried stripping it off. They tried everything. We got the on-floor machine. And that finally took it down to bare wood and could start over.
What I want to explain a little bit about that thing, the attachments, it's a random orbital. So the whole thing turns, and then it has 3 heads on the bottom. They all turn individually, so you don't get a swirl mark. It also makes it so that it doesn't have any torque. You talked about the
belt sander.
Belt sander. Those can pull you, and other things, you know, they can actually kind of torque and spin a little bit. This, really, you could do it with one hand. What's nice about those, the attachments that we use for decks, they're nylon bristles, about 1.5 to 2 inches long, really thick, heavy, and they're carbide impregnated. So they really cut through the stain and then the top surface of the wood. It's not like using a belt sander or something that's operating on a plane, because you can, like, you can get the high edges, but if the center's cupped, it misses it. It doesn't get over the edges. Where these bristles, it gets the entire deck.
And
you don't even have to worry about the nails or screw heads.
Right. Even if the nails are, you know, the nail heads are exposed.
You're not tearing sandpaper every 2 seconds.
No, it's a really, really, really good machine.
It's about as good as it gets, yeah.
Yeah, for a deck prep. So mm-hmm. by all means, that's the on-floor machine. Call any RepcoLite and we can give you pricing and get you on a schedule if that's something you want to do. All right. One last thing, temperatures. What about applying this stuff? Temperature-wise?
Well, let's say below 60 or say above 80. Let's go with the alkyds for sure.
All right.
In between there, we can use the latexes. Don't stain in the direct sunlight. You might get a tan, but you're going to cause your stains to penetrate a lot less because they're going to be drying so quickly. So just work around in the shade, just a little common sense, and I think you'll have a nice application.
All right. So that's Woodlux from Benjamin Moore. on shelves now. And everybody, if you've got any questions about application or you want to see some of the samples, see what the different finishes look like, step out at any Repco Light location, ask about woodlocks. They'll show you everything and help you through your project.
Sounds good. Thank
all right,
you, Dan.
Kevin, I'm going to release you to the wild. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. Now, all right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about what in the world we can do at home to deal with our shedding pets and try to keep the home a little cleaner. That's all next. Stick around. And we're back. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. And I mentioned it at the beginning of the show. I've got a golden retriever at home, and she's shedding like crazy. It's ridiculously difficult to keep up on. And anybody who really visits leaves covered with hair. So it's embarrassing on top of everything else. Well, I've been looking online for answers. I've got to have answers for this. And I found a couple of things that were really highly recommended, highly reviewed. But before I jumped into the whole DIY de-shedding thing, I decided to check in with the experts. And so right now I'm on the phone with Anna from Pet Cuts Grooming in Zealand. Anna, thanks for talking with me.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So before we jump into the whole problem, let's just talk about Pet Cuts Grooming.
Yeah, I'm located right downtown Zealand on the west side of Lake DeVries Photography. And most of us, I have 7 employees. Myself, I've been grooming 20 years. Another groomer, my husband, 20 years. And everyone else that's been here have been 5 years plus. And we groom anywhere from cats to full-size dogs, anywhere from just a bath and brush out to full grooming. We are pretty much a full-service grooming for all breeds.
All right. All right. So appointments, right? I would assume there's no walk-ins.
Nope. Appointments are requested for any kind of thing and something with a hair cutting breed. If you want to walk in this for a nail trim, that's only $5. No appointment needed. You can stop at any time for me to cut nails. Takes me like 2 minutes.
Okay. All right. And we'll get your contact info at the end if people do want to reach out and get more
Perfect.
Info. All right. So I've got that dog that I've described, a golden retriever. She's shedding like crazy. The internet tells me to go out and get one of these two brushes, this Forever Brush or this Furminator. Are those good options? Or are there other things that we should be doing? You know, what are some good at-home remedies that are safe for our pets?
At-home remedies for your pets, such as a lab or a golden retriever, definitely would be, you know, no one's going to go out and brush their dog every day. Realistically, that sounds like a great idea, but no one's honestly going to do it. I would say once a week, take your dog outside, take them to a garage. If you want to brush them in your house, that's your choice. But get in there with what's called a slicker brush, medium pins, so it's not too hard. And make sure you're brushing properly. You're starting from, you know, the back of the neck, and you're going to the tail and then down. And then just to get some of the undercoat out, because when your dog is hot, it's from the undercoat. The undercoat needs to come out. Everyone always wants to shave down their golden retrievers and everything else. If that's what you want to do, then I will educate you on shaving down your dog and the risk what can happen when you shave down a double-coated breed. But for everybody who wants to leave the natural golden retriever look, you're going to have shedding, which we call golden glitter, around your house. And nobody wants golden glitter around their house 24/7. So we're going to get in there and we're going to brush out your dog. For at-home treatment in between grooming, I obviously always recommend having your golden retriever groomed, I'd say every 3-4 months, whatever works for you. Some people do every 6 to 8 weeks. Grooming is extremely important. And not only for shedding, is when groomers are the ones that find the lumps, the bumps, and the things that parents don't feel, nor does your vet, because you take your dog to the vet and they're only looking at the problem that you bring to them.
Okay.
As groomers, I have literally found skin cancer and numerous tumors, everything on dogs that parents had no idea was there. So that's the importance of grooming.
Right.
When I'm bathing your dog, when I'm drying your dog, I can see down to the skin. I can see the imperfections. And I can also see what's going on with your skin, your dog's skin's coat, and maybe there's more of a reason why your dog is shedding a little more than it should. But when you have a golden retriever and a Labrador, you're going to have a lot of hair all the time.
Yeah.
What you can do at home in between grooming is, like I said, take them outside, brush them out. The Forever Brush, yes, it's a good brush, but you need to be cautioned with that brush. That brush technically is razor blades. Obviously, there's a scoop on the front of it, so you're not going to cut your dog. But that would be used on a golden retriever, like their hind end, where that a lot of undercoat gets built up. So you can loosen that. The biggest thing is you're trying to get that undercoat away from their skin. So then you're going to change brushes over to the slicker brush and be able to pull that hair out. I always say, like, when you're brushing your own hair, you're going to start from the bottom of the leg, and you're going to work your way up to get that undercoat out. It's very time consuming. That's why a lot of people don't brush their dogs and then wind up shaving them down or whatever else you want to have done.
Okay.
So, like I said, the Forever Brush is a good brush, but you need to use it properly because technically you could strip the dog's coat. You could take a very thick area and you could make it thin really fast, and that could also damage their coat where that hair would grow back differently than it normally would.
What about that Furminator brush?
The Furminator I would not recommend for a Golden Retriever. Lab, that's fine, but the biggest thing with a Furminator is you see on the commercials online and online where they're brushing all that one spot and pulling out all that hair. Once again, the Furminator is a very sharp edge. You can bald out a spot. If you're going to do it properly, you're going to start long strokes from like the back of the head to the tail and down. Long strokes to pull out that undercoat. You don't want to go over the same spot 50 times. You are literally going to break off the guard hairs. You're going to make your dog bald.
All right.
So that is not an everyday hairbrush. We have a lot of people come in with the Golden Doodles and their hair looks really weird and like, what happened? And they said, well, we use the Furminator. I'm like, okay. We're going to start over.
Well, it's all over the internet. You know, I mean, they've really done a good marketing job.
They've done a great marketing job. But when it comes to groomers out here, we're all like, we want to educate. That's the biggest reason why I got into pet grooming is I want to educate customers on what's best for your dog when it comes to maintenance of hair. It's brushing them and then getting that undercoat out so their skin can breathe so they don't get hot spots. Because we all take our dog swimming and give them a bath at home. But if your dog is not properly brushed out before they get wet, that undercoat will actually mat up and cause like a dreadlock. And then their skin can't breathe and then licking at it and chewing at it and causing sores. So the biggest thing for these heavy shedders is getting that undercoat out. Another thing too with dogs, since they don't sweat like you and I do, the only way for them to get cool is panting. Mm-hmm. And they also at the bottom of their feet. So Golden Retrievers tend to get a lot of toe hair, if you will, on the bottom of their pads. So when they come to the groomer, we're going to take a little clippers, and we're going to shave out the hair at the bottom of the pad. So that right there helps keep them cooler as well.
Okay.
I mean, those are something for at home. You could always buy a little clipper online. Those are going around on TikToks, everything else as well. Obviously, just look at some YouTube videos. Otherwise, I offer like free education. If someone says, here's what I bought, how do I use this?
Sure.
Stop on in. I'll show you the safe way to be able to do that. Once again, home grooming's not always for everyone because your dog may be great for me, but naughty for you.
Well, yeah, that's where I'm at. She's not naughty. She just absolutely hates all of the attention that we lavish on her when we're grooming her. She hates that particular attention, but you can handle that. That's what you're there for.
That's what we're there for. Like I said, it's at home. I take them outside, get a brush, get a comb, spend a few minutes, brush out those coats to get the undercoat out, especially this time of year. I tell people the two most important times of the year is going to be in your October and April months when they're doing the fall and the spring blowouts to get that undercoat out so they can stay cooler so they're not getting overheated this summer, because that is a huge risk in the summertime is dogs getting overheated because they can't get that undercoat released themselves.
Sure.
So it can be more of an issue than you're bargaining for.
So are you guys booked solid now for a while because it is that particular time of year?
Nope. We actually usually have appointments within a week or two.
All right.
We have a lot of Golden Doodles that we groom, a lot of Golden Retrievers, little Daisy dogs, all of those that come in. Like I said, I have 7 groomers, so we can accommodate to most people. We also are open 6 days a week. I do have a decent-sized salon, and some of the dogs that are more nervous around other dogs, then I will do those after hours, or I do them on the weekends.
Okay.
Just make sure that grooming is non-stressful. For dogs, I wanted to make it as most positive as I can because I don't think grooming should be scary for your dog. It should be kind of more of a fun experience. They go home, they're excited because they're nice and clean.
Yeah.
Everybody in their family's petting them, and that's what they obviously love.
They got their nails done. They should be happy. They shouldn't come back stressed, right? Nobody goes to a spa to be stressed.
Exactly. When they get here, they may act all nervous around their parents, but as soon as you're gone, they're great.
Then they're fine. Yeah,
just fine. It's just like kids.
They know what they're doing. All right. Yep. If our listeners do have any questions, how's the best way to reach out?
They can call or text me at 616-405-9952. My name is Anna. I've been located downtown Zealand for 10 years now. I've been grooming for 20.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much, Anna, for taking the time. And honestly, saving me from even opening that Furminator. So,
and I want to thank you for reaching out to me and educating customers on what to do at home when it comes to some of these grooming dogs, because it is a very important issue. Like I said, I have found skin cancer lumps and bumps on dogs, and I used to be able to educate people is a huge thing for me, especially with the new breeds out, the doodles and all that craze.
Absolutely. No, I didn't even think about that aspect of it. It all makes a lot of sense. And absolutely, I encourage anybody out there, wherever you're located, if Anna's nearby in your location, your area, reach out to her. Otherwise, look online, find some reputable groomers in your area. Reach out, ask questions. Don't just jump in based on what you're reading online. All right, Anna,
Perfect.
Thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thank you.
All right, that's all the time we've got. We're going to wrap it up. If you want to catch this one again, you can find it online at repcolite.com. Whatever you do today, make sure paint's a part of it. I'm Dan Hansen. Thanks for listening.